One of the things that the Bible does, God has given us this book. He inspired it. It was from the very beginning when the world was created, the Word already existed. And throughout history, God has inspired men to write various portions of it for Him, for us. The Bible is our guidebook, and it's something that we need to use very often. I find that I get into trouble if I don't use it, because I think that I know the answer or what I should do, and that doesn't work out that way. God has His own ways of handling things. And when He says His thoughts are much higher than my thoughts and His ways are much higher than my ways, He's absolutely right. He's telling us the truth. So I want to start with a verse in Matthew 6:9. Matthew 6:9. And the disciples had come to the Lord, and they had asked Him. They had a question. He often prayed, we find that recorded all through the Gospels, of how He would go off by Himself and pray. And the disciples noticed that there was a difference when He would pray and when He would come back to them. It was sort of like he had recharged His batteries. And so in Matthew 6:9, the disciples came to Him and asked Him, teach us to pray. And that's a pretty reasonable request. And so He responded to them, and He said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So where does Christianity begin? What did Jesus teach the people? What did He teach the disciples? Where does our obedience to the Lord, where is it supposed to begin? Because one of the natures that we have within us is a sin nature. It comes from Adam, and we inherited it from our fathers. And so let's look at the life of the Lord and what He taught His disciples. Jesus called them from many different walks of life. First few disciples were fishermen, sort of rough. we would call them rednecks today, but they were sort of rough people. But those were the ones that He chose to be His disciples, because He knew that those were the ones who were most malleable or the most able to be taught and molded. And so he collected fishermen to start with, and then there was a tax collector, and there was a doctor. There were many people from different walks of life. And after He'd gotten them collected, one of the first questions that they asked was how to communicate with Jesus' Heavenly Father. Are there times in your life when you might feel like you're not communicating with the Heavenly Father? I know there are in my life. There are times when maybe my heart is not quite right, or your heart is not quite right, or there is something, an issue of some sort that has developed that distracts you from being able to concentrate on God. And so they wanted to know how to pray. So Jesus gave them their first lesson in prayer. And it was only 5 verses long, but it covered all of the important things. So let's look at that to begin with here. Matthew 6:9-13. Matthew 6:9-13. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, Jesus' first prayer is quite interesting when you look at it, at the five verses. First of all, the quantity of words doesn't indicate the quality. There are people who think, I've got to say a lot of words in my prayer, or it doesn't mean anything. But that's not correct, because there are things that we can say. One of the most powerful prayers that gets results is a prayer that you may have prayed at some time in your life, and you may have prayed it more than once. Oh God, help me. And there are times when we want to pray that because we know we cannot cope with or we cannot be successful with the situation that we find ourselves involved with. And we may look up to heaven and not express it in words, but express it in thought. Oh God, help me. And that is a powerful prayer. That is a prayer that doesn't have a whole lot of words to it. But it is a prayer that God hears and a prayer that he answers. And so Jesus said that vain repetition was meaningless. Have you ever prayed for something more than once? Something for yourself? Oh God, I need a new car. I want a new house. I want a new kitchen. I want this dress, or I want this suit, or I want this pair of shoes. Well, God would be interested in those prayers, but they're not prayers that necessarily he has to answer. And if you want quality in a time of great distress, the prayer can be short but meaningful, such as, oh God, help me. Now that prayer usually does get results. Now, were they praying to God when the disciples prayed? Or were they praying to the people who were around them? A lot of people are afraid to pray in public because they are afraid they're going to say the wrong thing, or their pride keeps them from praying because they're not talking to God, they're talking to the people in the room around them. And so every time we talk to God, we're not talking to you folks. We're talking to him. And there is a big difference in prayers. Many prayers are offered for the people in the room rather than the talking to God on behalf of a particular need. So, God knows our thoughts. He knows every thought that you have. He knows every thought that I have. And so, how can we pray anything to God that would be wrong, since he already knows what we're thinking, what our hearts are? And so when we pray, we've got to realize that we are praying to him. We don't need to be ashamed of our prayers. There are people who will not pray in public, period, because they are afraid they'll say something wrong. What can you say wrong to God? What can you say wrong to God? Well, you could show what's on your heart, and maybe that's not what God wants. Or you could pray for something that would be in violation or opposition to God's word, and that would be wrong. So prayer requires us to surrender our thought life and our hearts to the Lord. And that was what Jesus was trying to teach his disciples as he gave them this short prayer that we find in Matthew 6. Jesus was teaching his disciples how to talk to God. if we're praying to the people, don't expect God to answer it. If my prayer is to you or for your benefit, don't expect God to answer it. Our prayers are to our Heavenly Father, to God. Now, the next thing that Jesus gave them was to consider God's will. He wanted them to consider what God's will might be in every situation at the time of prayer. Jesus was reminding his disciples that things might be done a little differently in heaven than they might be done here on earth. And he did that, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." What is God's will? What is God's will for you? What is God's will for us? What is God's will for the earth? What is God's will for his creation? Is it any different than it is in heaven? You think that they obey God in heaven? Do you think that God can be obeyed, or God would be obeyed? I believe the angels obey God better than we do. And so Jesus is reminding his disciples that things are done differently in heaven than they are on earth. Are we doing what God wants us to do here on earth? And that's a question that we all need to ask ourselves, because we need to answer that question. Are we doing here what God wants us to do? Now, Jesus encourages his disciples to make requests for the things that they have need of. And God encourages us to do the same thing. Little things. Little things. The mundane things. God is interested in what we believe, what we want. And so he wants us to request those things of him. That could be food, could be clothing or shelter, or a job to do for Jesus. He encourages his disciples to ask for the things that they need to accomplish his will. And right in the middle of the prayer, Jesus gives them one of the most important keys to success. When praying to God, if you want God's forgiveness, we must forgive what has been done to us. God wants to use us. God wants us to love each other. And can you love somebody that you're mad at? If you're mad at somebody, can you love them? We love our kids sometimes. And there are times when they do things that offend us, but we do love them. And love overcomes the offense. So if we're asking God to forgive us for something that we have done to someone else, at the end of the prayer, Jesus addresses the mandate by God for us to forgive others. If we want forgiveness in our life, we must forgive others. So have our sins retained in our souls desire not to forgive? What a heavy burden for a soul not to forgive the people who have offended them. Now, the next thing that Jesus encourages his disciples to ask for is deliverance from evil. It is very prevalent in the world around us. I believe right now that we are, all of us, in a position where God can attack us. Satan. Sorry about that. I'm on the wrong side. I believe that right now Satan is attacking us. I think the fact that Pastor Dan's father got burned last night was not an accident. I think that it was an attack by Satan against him because of what we are doing right now, considering this merge. We have had more problems in the last few weeks than we have had in the last few years. And people, Satan is real. The evil is real. And so we need to be praying for each other. We need to be praying that you are protected by God. God can put a wall about you, and he can protect you from the evil of Satan. I know that I've had incident things going on in my life that I've never had, but they're occurring right now because there is a big change coming for all of us, a change that will glorify God, a change that will improve our ministry for God and our outreach for God. And so we need to be sure that we pray that God will give us the protection that we need. We pray, almost every day, Gabrielle and I pray for her family that are there in Haiti and her son in Dominican Republic, that God will protect them. They are living in a place where there is no government. It's all gangs. And so if God doesn't protect them, who can? Who will? And so we do pray that almost every day. Most of the wounds that you and I get during life, we're afraid of strangers. We won't let them get close to us, but we will let brothers and sisters get close to us. And they are the ones who will wound us if we're not careful, if we're not prayerful. Prayerful for that God will watch over us and take care of us. And so Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray for God's protection, pray for God's safety in their lives. And he wants to remind his disciples that if they are going to be safe, if they are going to be successful, it's not because of them, it's because of God. You got here tonight because God brought you here. And God permitted you to come. God watched over you. You didn't rear end somebody like I did the other day. Because my mind was thinking of something else and I wasn't being careful. I wasn't concentrating on what I needed to do. I wasn't trying to be in the center of God's will. I was thinking about something else. Now, when Jesus knew that he needed to emphasize certain parts of prayer to make prayer simple for his disciples, he would be very careful to give them the right instructions. Look at the next two verses, Matthew 6:14 and Matthew 6:15. It tells us, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you your trespasses. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Folks, most of the problems in the church are failure to forgive. We need to forgive one another. And this is the explanation for forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. How do you forgive? I have a lot to be forgiven for. And so I'm not in a position to make a judgment against other people. I'm just in a position to forgive them and hopefully that they will forgive me. Now, Matthew 5:23-24 tells us, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Jesus was telling his disciples, make sure that you are in right standing with everybody. Now, if there's anybody here that I've offended, I ask for your forgiveness right now. And if I haven't offended you, give me time and I will. We're all that way. And sometimes we don't even know we've done this. And so we need to be aware of things that we do and the things that we're involved with. We took a picture, and I guess it was shown this morning, if you didn't happen to be here this morning, of the repairing the holes out here in the parking lot. And the picture showed two adults standing there leaning on their shovels while a young man, a small kid, was doing all the work. Now, if that sounds familiar, that's the highway department here in South Carolina. Really, we need to agree with each other quickly. We need to be careful that we don't hold things within ourselves. The Holy Spirit was given us the moment we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You have him living in your heart. He is there for a purpose. That purpose is to give you directions. That purpose is to plant within you the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit, Pastor Dan mentioned it this morning, is the very first part of the fruit? It's only one fruit. The Holy Spirit has just one fruit, but it has many elements to it. And we are told about that. And what is the first part of that fruit of the Holy Spirit?
Love.
Love. Now, that is not love for yourself. We were born with that. That is love for the people around you. And if you love the people around you, the next part of the Holy Spirit is going to bloom from you, and that's going to be joy. You're not going to have happiness. You're going to have joy. And happiness depends on circumstance. Joy comes from God because it comes from his Holy Spirit within you. And that joy will give you peace of heart. It will help you to sit in traffic when the guy in front of you doesn't move at the red light, okay? Because he's texting on his phone. You can see him doing that, texting on his phone. And the light turns green and he's still texting away there. And traffic's moving away. And the first thing I want to do is hit that horn. Hey, guy, get going. But that is, God has put that within you. It is a potential. We are so different from what we could be. And God has made all of that difference for each one of us. He gives us patience. He sometimes helps us to be actually good. He helps us to be gentle when maybe we don't want to be. He gives us faith through the Holy Spirit. We don't have faith within ourselves. God gives it to us through the Holy Spirit. And he gives us mercy. And then the last thing that he puts within us is the most difficult thing for any of us: temperance. Can you control yourself? And my answer, you have something that is always a temptation to you. If I turn sideways to you, you will see where my temptation comes from. Something that I tried. I've taken 84 years taking care of this. It's something that I'm not exercising temperance because God has put it here, but I have my own will. And so we want to be careful about that. Most of the problems in churches are the result of church people failing to do some of the things that Jesus instructed us to do. He instructed the disciples. You take a fisherman. He knows how to fish. He knows how to fix a net. He knows how to set a hook. He knows what kind of bait to use. But Jesus was teaching these fishermen to be fishers of men. And to be a fisher of men, we have to be bringing people into the kingdom of God. And so that's the thing that we want to be working on. We come to church to learn more about Jesus and to learn more about the Heavenly Father through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Can the Holy Spirit minister to you in your home? Of course He can. He can minister to you anywhere in the world. But where can you get fellowship without being around people? Tomorrow morning, 9:30, they're going to play Bible trivia right here. And Linda will be here. Maybe the other Linda will be here. And they'll be sitting right over here where AB's sitting. And they'll be playing Bible trivia for the fellowship, the opportunity to love one another, the opportunity to put into practice what we learn from this book. And so that's part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He gives us love for each other. Now, we also come to church to pray for one another. When I see you, I am reminded, pray for them. Pray that God will use them. Saul came and helped me at the fair. We worked together to pass out gospel tracts and to pass out Bibles. And I told him he could witness to the Spanish-speaking people, and he did. He passed out Spanish gospel tracts as well as English. But we are each here to help each other. I want to help you do whatever God has for you tonight. What does God have for you to do tonight? One of the things He wants us to do, He wants us to tell other people about Jesus. So, Jesus gave all of us the same instructions so that we could be His church or His body on earth so that we might have unity. He didn't give us instructions to limit our activities. That's not the reason that we have been given God's word. This is not a limit. This is a means of blessing, a means of accomplishing God's will in our lives. And so he gave us instructions to help us to serve Him. Now, I'm a man, and many of you women think, well, you take a package that comes with instructions on how to assemble something, and a man just won't look at those instructions. He'll just pick up the stuff and start putting it together, and leftover pieces, when you're not looking, go into the trash.
Amen.
This is a little different, folks. There might be pieces left over of that thing you put together. There's no pieces left over in the Word of God. Every bit of it pertains to each one of us. And Jesus is giving us the instructions for our benefit, not to limit us. He's doing this to benefit us so that we can be successful in the things we try and do for the Lord. Now, there would be those, let's see. So Jesus, let me get to the right point. Jesus gave us the instructions to help us be successful for the Lord, to be successful among our brothers and sisters, which brings us to the purpose of the church. If someone asks you why we have a church, what would your answer be? Why do we have a church? Well, I like chicken. We like to eat chicken, okay? We like to fellowship. But there's a reason that we have a church, and we have to keep that in mind as we come to church, as we are part of a church. The main reason that we have a church is to glorify God. That is the main reason. We are here to bring glory to God, not to ourselves, but to Him. And that is, and if we ask people in the church, we'd get all kinds of different answers. That some, if you were in the Jehovah's Witness church, it would be that you want to be one of the 144,000 people that God's going to take to heaven. But they require work. We don't work because we are required to work. We work because we love God. And that needs to be our reason for being here. I had a Seventh-day Adventist who used to work for me when I was down in Florida. You know what happens with a Seventh-day Adventist on Friday afternoon? How many of you know anything about Seventh-day Adventism? They believe that their work, their doing things, has to end at sundown on Friday night. And that they can do nothing but worship the Lord on Saturday. He was a truck driver for me. He drove a tractor trailer for me. I had several tractor trailers that we were delivering things in. It's in the state of Florida. I would get a phone call at 3 o'clock Friday afternoon, and he would say, "Ken, you can pick up your truck," and he would tell me where it was because he would have his wife meet him at that place. He would park the truck and get in the car with her and go home. Many times I had to go to the Everglades and find the truck. Because they say, "It's in the Everglades." They were a people of works. The one thing that we have right now working for us is that you don't have to do a thing for God, for Him to save you, other than believe that He is who He said He is. Believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross for your sins. All of them, not part of them, not a little bit of them, but all of them. He died for you because He loved you that much. And so when we talk about the Holy Spirit, the first part of the fruit being love, it's the love of God that He's putting in your heart. You have no choice. It's going to be there. And so the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Romans, told us what the purpose of the church is. He put it on an individual basis so that many believers would not miss the purpose for it. They don't realize that this was addressed to the individual circumstance or of corporate activity. There is one thing that all Christian believers are supposed to do in a corporate setting, and we normally acknowledge this activity as our primary purpose. Let's look at what Paul wrote and then unpack the meaning. It is in Romans chapter 15, Romans chapter 15, verses 57, Romans 15, 5 through 7. "Now then, the God of all patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God." The moment you got saved, God was glorified. The moment you got saved, the angels rejoiced in heaven. God is so glad to have you be part of his family. Every Sunday morning that we sing the family of God, we're not just singing a song. We're celebrating one with another. I am so glad that I'm part of your family and that you're part of mine. So Jesus said personally that we have to live in unity. And that is what like-mindedness is. That is, like-mindedness is what glorifies God. Dissension doesn't glorify God, and that's why Jesus told us to receive one another. Jesus was advocating for unity. Unity can only occur if we do the things that Jesus told us to do. So when Jesus gave his instructions to the church, he was talking to you, he was talking to me. And you know what? He gave us all the same instructions. All the instructions are the same. And so Jesus was advocating for unity, and unity can only occur if we do the things that Jesus told us to do. In that case, we're supposed to swallow our pride and let God's Holy Spirit guide us to the place where we need to be. God does not make mistakes, and he would not ask any of us to do something that was impossible. Only God can regularly do the impossible. If God asks you to do something impossible, you know it's God. And you're going to have to depend on God to do it with you or for you. So in Philippians 4:13, what does it tell us? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so tonight, as we meet together here, I hope that you will believe that. I hope that you will feel that within you, inside of yourself, that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Christ Church has a testimony. Part of that testimony is the fact that those in a right relationship with Jesus Christ will be in agreement with the Word of God. If there's a division, then there is not unity. And the public recognizes lack of unity, and they will not respond favorably to disunity. We are bringing together two different ministries, and yet these ministries are identical in almost every aspect. What a great thing. Pastor Dan said he's going to bring an illustration the day that we vote to become one unity, one ministry. And it will be a great demonstration. If you take a piece of thread, you can break it. If you combine 60 pieces of thread, it'll be a little harder to break. In fact, you may cut your fingers trying to break them. If you combine 100 pieces of thread, you're probably not going to be able to break it. Each of us is a piece of thread. Each of us is going to give strength to the other. Each of us is going to have a part with each other. We are coming together to be a ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are coming together to glorify God. And I believe that we are going to do this. So the Holy Spirit is in our hearts, and he wants to communicate with us as to what God's will is. He led the writers of the New Testament to write the Word. Any time that we violate the Word, we are violating God's will. So we all are human, and we all were given free will. Free will is what causes us to violate God's Word. Our will is not God's will. And God's will is above our will. It is much better than our will. Isaiah tells us that for certain the difference between God and us. Isaiah 55:8-11 tells us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." So Jesus gave us instruction in the church. All of us got the same instruction. We have a certain unity. We know what God wants us to do. So what we need is the courage to do it. Mark 12:28-31 says, "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment?" It's so interesting that the Holy Spirit gave us the same scriptures this morning and tonight I guess he wants us to remember them. And the scribe asked the Lord, what was the first commandment? And the Lord said in Matthew 12:28-31, "One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And Pastor Dan mentioned this morning, these very verses. God wants us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And so there are many verses that help us to live the way God wants us to live. None of them go to our pride. They all go to our humility. Neither does that mean that we no longer have sin or in our life? No. It means that we will not willfully commit sin, but will abhor sin like God does. We will attempt to do the best that we can do to obey God's word. And if we come to a place where we have difficulty with Jesus' instructions, we get on our knees and get things settled between us and God. We don't rule our lives. Jesus is supposed to. But sometimes we try to take control from our Lord, and we attempt to do things our way. It will take the power of God working in our lives to correct our sinful error. It takes time for us to learn to submit to Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So when he ministered to his 12 disciples, 11 of them were successful. He is still ministering to us through his word. And we want to be successful, so we want to listen to and obey the word of God. We want to walk with Jesus. That will glorify God, and that is the purpose of the church. That is why he gave instructions to his people. Father, we want to glorify you. There are things we can do, and you can show us through the power of your Holy Spirit what we can do to glorify you. We are not important, Father. You are. Jesus Christ is important. Father, help us to live like he did. Help us to love other people around us. And Father, help this ministry to be successful in your eyes, because we are doing the things that you would have us do, and not exercising our free will. May your will be done in this ministry, and may we experience your power as we reach out to others to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to bring others here and share with them what Jesus did for each one of us. And may we see souls coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. May your will be done in this place. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.